Hello and welcome to the Health Report and our RN Summer season of highlights. And of course, Happy New Year to you. This week, we listen again to some of our series about substance abuse and how we can help people access help. A little while ago, while I was looking at the latest evidence on alcohol and other drug use, I discovered that a huge amount of research had passed me by, including topics I know interest you, like how can parents prevent drug use in their children. Professor Marie Teeson and her colleagues at the Matilda Centre at the University of Sydney are at the cutting edge of some of this work, including ICE, also known as crystal meth or methamphetamine, one of the most misunderstood drugs of abuse. And that's what we're going to cover in this, the first of an occasional series, which will also eventually have its own podcast in longer form. Jack Nagle knows firsthand how difficult it is to quit methamphetamine. Jack's life was hugely affected by ICE, and he now, courageously, is prepared to talk about it.
For a bit of background context, I come from a really middle-class, everyday Australian family, was really good at sport, but always had a bit of an inkling to want to go out and party and things like that as I was growing up. And because I was playing sport so much, any opportunity that I got, I really went out and ended up doing a number on myself. And it was in those circles that I eventually got introduced to methamphetamine as I was using other drugs and alcohol. And as soon as I had it, I just fell in love, really. I loved it. And compared to some of the other drugs I was using at first, I was able to get really high for a less amount of money. But that quickly turned on its head as I started using methamphetamine more because my tolerance started to build to it. And that's when things, for me personally, in all the other areas of my life, really started to go a little bit haywire. And I suppose the snapshot of it for me is that it progressed really quickly. And then, unfortunately, I ended up with a lot of, I suppose, some of the stereotypical signs and symptoms of, chronic methamphetamine addiction, where I was in psychosis all the time. Yeah, I ended up quite suicidal, having problems in all my relationships with family and friends and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, was just really, really broken towards the end of it. And yeah, found it really, really hard to reach out and get the right help for a long period of time.
Let's just double back then. In terms of your personal experience of drug use, when you said you did a number on yourself, what do you actually mean?
For me, and I'm not sure if this is the same for everyone, I didn't know it at the time, but I really noticed in my personality a couple of things. If I do something, I tend to do it all the way. And I think for me, in hindsight, so I played sport very competitively growing up as a junior. So I was playing pretty much 6 days a week and training, the other days as well. So I really feel like I missed out on maybe some of that normal teenage experience that maybe others would have. But I really wanted to, go out and be that sort of normal teenager. So when I had that opportunity, instead of maybe experimenting with a little bit of alcohol and a little bit of drugs as my other friends were doing,
You were all or nothing.
That's right, all or nothing. I would really take my opportunity and dive headfirst in. I was always nervous to try new drugs, but as soon as I took them, I often found that I really loved it to start with, and then that would obviously snowball into me, going all or nothing.
So the initial experience was good and you could afford it, but just describe the spiral.
So I loved it at first, and it was really like a big lie because I just thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread, but pretty quickly, actually, for me, it was never the using of the drug for me that was the problem. It was what came along with it. So the mental health.
Well, that's always the case, isn't it?
I think for most people it is, and definitely was for me. And the mental health aspect initially was the biggest thing for me. So with methamphetamine use, I always say what goes up must come down. So when I would use, I would go up incredibly high, and that's when I felt good. But it was actually when I was coming down and didn't have the drug where I'd experienced the most problems, become incredibly depressed. That's often where I would have some of the psychosis episodes.
And by psychosis, what sort of delusions were you having?
My psychoses were complete blackouts, which was actually quite embarrassing because I would black out and I would be obviously.
So there'd be a period of time where you just couldn't remember what had happened.
Correct, correct. And then the people around me and friends and things would just tell me all sorts of sort of strange things that I would do and say and strange ways that I would act and all those sorts of things, which caused me a lot of embarrassment as well. And it all just started to feed into each other. And that's where the cycle of addiction really started happening for me, because as all those different shameful experiences and moments and depressive feelings and anxiety and all that sort of stuff started to feed into one another, I started to need an escape. And so instead of it being something that I used for fun, it was something that I used to escape my reality and my pain and things like that. And
but again, but it was a vicious cycle, obviously.
Correct, correct. It was a vicious cycle. So the more I used, the more pain was created, and then the more I would use, and so on.
And your relationships, you talked about damage to your relationships.
Yeah, so as I said, at the time I had a younger brother. So when I was 18, he was 10, and that was sort of the time period that I was in the thick of my addiction. And yeah, my behavior was just completely erratic. And I was living with my mum at the time, and she always said to me, "I love you and I really want to help you, but yeah, I'm sorry. You have to leave. You can't live here at the moment because, you know, I just can't deal with your behavior." And that was kind of something for me that was actually a bit of a blessing in disguise, because it sort of made life for me a lot harder, and some bad stuff happened in that time. But I was couch surfing with friends, and off and on, my dad was letting me stay at his house. But yeah, all my relationships just became completely broken because I was lying to people, stealing off my family, all those sorts of things. I'd really just kind of become a shell of the person that I was before, and was just completely at that stage just living to use, really.
What brought it to an end?
I'd had lots of what you would call rock bottom experiences, and that never stopped me using. But in the end, I had a really massive bender where I'd at that stage been crossing all the moral boundaries that I had before. And so I'm 6'6", but I'm a big teddy bear. I don't have a violent bone in my body, but I was just desperate at that stage. And I'd actually stolen like several thousands of dollars off someone who was actually dealing drugs. And I spent it all within a week on meth and had, a massive blow up and was in psychosis for a lot of that time. And just everything went really wrong. And what happened was that I got dropped at a train station by the people that I was using with. I was like cold and hungry, and I went to buy a Big M from the milk bar, and I had like $5 in my pocket. I don't think I even had enough for the Big M. And I was just like, in that moment, I was broken. And lucky enough for me, my mom and the rest of my family in the background were, you know, searching for rehabs and things. So when I went home, she let me in, and I had this really cliche, strange moment where she had this really big mirror in her bathroom, and I kind of caught my reflection, and almost my life flashed before my eyes. I sort of realized that I'd gone from the happy-go-lucky young guy that had opportunity at his feet and all that sort of stuff to just, your stereotypical sort of drug user. And I just got really broken in that moment, and I asked my mum for help. And as I said, really lucky that I had the supportive family in the background there, and they'd already, you know, had been speaking to treatment centers and things like that. And I was able to get an assessment and start that process very quickly.
And how long before you were clean?
This is the interesting part for me, and something that I see all the time now with people in addiction, was that I asked for that. I can't remember what day it was, but that was towards the nighttime. Mum called the place, but they could only book me in for an assessment. I think it was like 2 days after that. And I, even though I was completely broken and wanted help in that moment, I got up the next day and, I don't want help anymore, you know, and wanted to go a different direction. Lucky enough, I was kind of talked into it. I went for the assessment, and then that kind of would have just been terrible for my family, because it wasn't, you know, I had to wait, which is pretty quick actually in the drug and alcohol treatment space. I only had to wait a week and a half until I could get into the program. So I just had this whole week and a half where I had the yes, no's happening in my head. Do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? I was taking drugs, falling in and out of wanting help. But lucky enough, I just kind of made it there. And I actually had something really profound at the treatment center happen to me, which is I met someone else a little bit like myself that was in recovery from a similar addiction. And they were able to intimately describe to me how they were thinking and feeling. And I had sort of like a psychological shift in that moment, that maybe I wasn't alone and that I could do it too. And that was really pivotal for me to be able to change. And I was able to become clean and off drugs from that time on.
And have you relapsed at all? Have you gone back?
No, so I've been incredibly lucky from what I understand now and with friends. Relapse or, you know, use is a common thing that happens with addiction. It doesn't mean failure, but it's a common thing. But I've been lucky enough. Again, I'm very lucky that I have a supportive network and opportunities with family and stuff like that. I've been able to stop and turn things around. It hasn't all been luck. It's been lots of hard work. But yeah, I have actually been able to stay in recovery and turn my life around, which has been amazing.
And what does turning your life around look like? What's the future hold?
Complete shift. So I don't like to talk about like the stereotype because everyone's sort of different, but I was in a really low space and just couldn't really function in my life. And now that's completely turned on its head. You know, I have a career and I've been able to marry and having a child. And, you know, if you saw me in the street, you'd just think that I was an everyday member of the community, that I'd had nothing go on in my life.
The usual guy like shackled this to a mortgage and the whole catastrophe.
That's right. What I used to dream that I would never become, I've become a total squarehead.
Lot to be said for it.
That's right. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And yeah, to think that my life could have potentially gone in a completely different direction is pretty amazing. And part of the reason why I like to talk about my story, because it just keeps me in touch with where things were at and how lucky and grateful I am where I am now.
And do you use any drugs at all? I mean, do you alcohol, tobacco, or anything else?
No. So it's been an interesting journey. At the start, I decided not to use anything else out of fear, I would say. But now I actually believe that I could, you know, have a drink and not bust out in chronic alcohol use and handcuffs and all that sort of stuff. But I choose not to, you know, just because it had such a big impact in my life. I choose not to. But I have friends that, you know, were in equally as bad positions as me and went through the whole process and now choose to socially drink and have a different relationship with substances and things like that.
One of the things I hear in this situation is that it's a cohort thing. So you go through with friends who have the same, or you acquire friends who have the same drug habits. And if they remain your friends, you still stay within that sort of ambit. Have you had to drop friends and create a new social world for yourself?
100%. It's been a really strange and interesting process. It's the thing I've learned about addiction is that it's not actually so much about the drugs. It's probably 5% about the drugs and 95% about everything else. And social circles and friends and environments is one of those things. And in the early days, I had to think about myself like I was in intensive care from a really serious medical issue. And I really isolated myself away from any alcohol or drugs, whether that be people or environments and going out and things like that, because I just recognized in those early stages that I really needed to take care of myself. But as I've progressed, I've been able to create new friendships. I've had old friends that have changed their life as well. And then we've created new relationships and new friendships. But I definitely had to move away from what my life was previously and change. And not because those people were bad, but I think it's a big thing when it comes to addiction, and I recognize it for myself. You know, I really like that saying, you're the average of the five people you hang around most. And, you know, that old saying, if you hang around in the barber's chair too long, you're probably going to get a haircut. And that often tends to be the case when it comes to addiction and drug use. If people are wanting to change and head in a different direction, they have to sort of change their environment and their life in lots of different ways to make that happen. And that was the case for me.
Jack Nagle, who's brave enough to tell us his story about ICE.